Welcome back, everyone. We're diving into a case today that really flips the script on what we think we know about lifetime leases.
Oh, yeah, this one's a real head-scratcher.
It takes us to Texas for Ethel v. Rosberg. It shows just how important it is to know the difference between a lease and a life estate.
Right, and how that can impact someone's right to stay in their home when things get messy.
Yeah, so to set the stage, this whole thing started as a settlement, right? Robert Rosberg was suing Henry and Jack Ethel, and they reached an agreement.
Okay.
Part of that agreement involved Rosberg buying a property from the Ethels. But here's where it gets interesting.
Right.
The agreement also said that Lena Ethel, who was living on the property, could stay there, you know, for the rest of her life. Sounds reasonable enough.
It does on the surface, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the catch. That agreement was set up as a lease, not a life estate. And those are two totally different things, legally speaking.
Okay, now for those of us who might not be totally fluent in property law,
sure.
Could you break down what a life estate actually is and why it's so different from a lease?
Absolutely. So a life estate, think of it like this. You're granted the right to live on and use a property for your entire life. And that right, it's actually recorded right there in the property deed.
Oh, I see.
It's pretty solid.
Right.
A lease, on the other hand, it's basically just a contract. It's like renting for a certain amount of time.
So you don't actually own any part of the property with a lease?
Exactly. It's about possession, not ownership.
Gotcha. Yeah. So in this case, Lena Ethel, she had a lease that said she could stay for life, but it wasn't the same as owning a piece of the property.
Right. Which turned out to be a big problem.
So what happened next? Did she get to stay?
Well, fast forward 3 years. Rosberg decides he wants Lena off the property. Claims she violated the lease, and he goes and files what's called a forcible detainer action.
Forcible detainer. Sounds intense.
Basically, the legal process for evicting someone.
Oh, wow. So it got real.
Yeah. And Lena, she fought back hard,
yeah.
You know, arguing that she had the right to stay there for life based on their agreement. Her argument was that this whole thing should be treated as a dispute over ownership, you know, which is a lot more complicated than just a simple eviction case.
Oh, so it sounds like the big question here was whether the court saw this as a lease or a life estate.
Exactly.
Right.
That was the crux of the matter. And unfortunately for Lena, the courts ended up siding with Rosberg.
Wow. Really? I mean, I'm curious about their reasoning. Why did they rule against her?
Well, it all boils down to Texas law, which is very specific about leases.
Okay.
Texas law says a lease needs to have a definite end date.
I see.
Since we can't predict exactly when someone will pass away, you know, a lifetime lease creates what's called a tenancy at will.
So you're saying a lifetime lease doesn't actually guarantee a lifetime on the property?
Not in Texas, at least. A tenancy at will means either the landlord or the tenant can end the agreement pretty much whenever they want.
Wow. So even though the initial agreement seemed straightforward, this lifetime lease wasn't as ironclad as it sounded.
Not at all. And this is where it gets important for anyone dealing with property agreements, especially those that involve lifetime occupancy. Clarity is key. If you really want to make sure someone has the right to live on a property for their entire life, a properly recorded life estate is the way to go.
So it sounds like Lena might have been in a much better position if that initial agreement had been set up as a life estate instead of a lease.
That's right. But it's important to remember that life estates do have their own implications, you know, things like taxes and inheritance. It's always smart to talk to a legal professional to figure out what's best for your specific situation.
Makes sense. So what happened to Lena in the end? Did she end up getting evicted?
Well, the case didn't just stop there. It went from the Justice Court to the County Court and then all the way up to the Texas Court of Appeals. And you know what?
What happened? Tell me they didn't all rule against her.
Every single one upheld the ruling in favor of Rosberg.
Oh, man. You'd think with an agreement like that stating lifetime occupancy, there might be some, you know, leeway. But it seems like Texas law is pretty black and white on this.
It is. This case really shows how much Texas law prioritizes clear property rights and doing things by the book.
Yeah.
You know, there's not much room for interpretation when it comes to who owns what.
So they were really focused on, was it a lease or was it a life estate?
Yeah.
Did they even look into why Rosberg wanted to evict Lena? He said she violated the lease. But did the courts even care about those details?
That's a good question. And it actually brings up something interesting about how these cases work. The appeals process, you know, it really zeroed in on the agreement itself. Like, what was it at its core? Was it a lease or a life estate? It didn't get bogged down in the specifics of did she violate it or not.
So they were more concerned with the legal category than the, you know, the nitty gritty of why he wanted her out.
Exactly. Once the courts decided it was a tenancy at will, that pretty much settled it for them. Rosberg had the right to end it, as long as he followed the right procedures.
Right.
Why he wanted to end it became kind of irrelevant, legally speaking.
So even if Lena hadn't supposedly violated the lease, Rosberg could have still kicked her out.
Yeah, that's the thing about a tenancy at will. Either side can walk away with proper notice. Doesn't really matter why. It really shows you how shaky that kind of arrangement can be.
Yeah, this is definitely making me rethink some things.
Yeah.
It sounds like understanding the actual wording and legal implications of these agreements is super important.
Absolutely. This case is a big wake-up call, you know? Informal agreements or promises, especially about property, they can be really hard to enforce. You need to get it all in writing, make sure it follows the rules of your state.
So if someone wants to make sure a family member can live on a property for the rest of their life, what's the right way to do that legally?
Well, like we talked about, a properly recorded life estate is going to be the safest bet. But even then, you got to be careful. Make sure that document clearly says who gets to live there and for how long, and you got to make absolutely sure it's recorded in the property deed. If not, it might not hold up in court.
Man, this is a lot to think about. So what are some key takeaways for our listeners? What can they learn from this Effel v. Rosberg case to avoid these kinds of situations?
Well, first off, I think this case really drives home the difference between a lease and a life estate. If you want someone to have the right to live somewhere for their whole life, a life estate done right and recorded properly, that's the way to go.
And like you said before, always talk to a lawyer. Make sure you're making the right choice for your situation and everything's legal and above board. What else should our listeners keep in mind?
Oh, absolutely. One thing people forget sometimes is you got to make sure everyone involved in an agreement is actually included in the process from the start. You know, Lena wasn't part of that first settlement between Rosberg and the Effels, even though it was her home on the line.
Right.
And, you know, not being involved from the beginning, I think that really hurt her when things went legal.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You got to think about everyone who could be affected by this agreement and make sure they have a voice.
Exactly. And it's also important to think about what could happen down the road. What if the property gets sold? What if the person with the life estate wants to move or, you know, make big changes to the place? All those questions got to be addressed right there in the agreement, you know, to avoid problems later on.
So being proactive and thinking about the what ifs can save a lot of headaches in the long run.
For sure. And it brings us back to getting legal advice.
Mm.
Navigating these agreements can be tricky, especially with property rights. So talking to an expert is really the best way to go.
All right. So we've talked about leases versus life estates, the importance of clear language and legal procedures and thinking about everyone involved and what could happen in the future. What's the bottom line for our listeners? What's the takeaway here?
Well, I think this case has some really important lessons for anyone dealing with property agreements, whether you're a lawyer drafting these things or just someone thinking about this kind of arrangement.
What would you say is the biggest takeaway?
I think for me, it's realizing that a lifetime lease, despite the name, might not be the lifelong guarantee people think it is. You really got to know the laws in your state. In some places, a lifetime lease might give you more protection than it did in Texas, but it's always best to be careful and get legal advice.
This deep dive has definitely shown us that even agreements that seem simple can have some complicated legal stuff going on underneath, especially when it comes to property.
Absolutely. And I think it really highlights how important it is to stay informed, ask the right questions, and get expert help to make sure everyone's rights and interests are protected.
Well said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of property law. We'll see you next time, folks. Stay informed and stay curious.